Okay, so mom, what do you think of when you hear the term self-expression in childhood? Like, how do you think that I would have expressed myself as a child?
I would take that as your communication with people, like talk, you know, playing with your friends.
Yeah, that sounds pretty logical.
We'd never had phones for you guys to use back then. So if you wanted to talk to someone, you walked to their house and talked to them.
So that's kind of how you would kind of determine how we would express ourselves and our individuality. Like, what about like in our creativity?
Well, with play, you always hung with your siblings because they were always there. You learned how to fight. You learned how to play. Learned how to compromise.
So it was that simple?
It was that simple. Life was simple then. Now it's a hot mess.
Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. Glad that you are here with me today for the podcast. We are halfway through our series asking whether or not the purported benefits of smartphone ownership for kids are actually beneficial. And even more than that, are they biblical? Do they align with how Scripture defines discipleship and growing in wisdom and maturity? We have so far refuted the benefits of outdoor safety, navigation, documentation, and education. Today, we are tackling the supposed benefit of creative self-expression. Now, a couple months ago, I did an entire podcast episode describing this idea of self-expression and how it's become the default justification for children's access to social media. Not smartphones specifically, but social media. And we detailed the origin of this thought line. It's through this psychological principle that self-expression is necessary for identity formation. And because social media allows self-expression, well, then it must be necessary to allow kids or adolescents to form their identity on social media. So that's episode number 212. I think it's one of the most important episodes I've done if you haven't listened. But today we're going to be talking about how the smartphone enables this creative self-expression, making it a beneficial reason why a parent should or could give their child their own smartphone. So it's a slightly different angle than the argument for identity formation, as we'll see by Dr. Peter Gray's description of this benefit. So let's jump right into that. He says, quote, "The smartphone is a tool not just for building yourself, but also for expressing yourself. You can snap pictures or create films not just for documentation, but also for aesthetics and humor. When novel lines of poetry or song lyrics enter your head as you walk on wooded trails or city sidewalks, you can recite them into your phone before they are lost. If you wish to share your creation with friends or family, or even with a larger audience, you can do so whenever you wish. It is human nature to want to share our creative thoughts and endeavors with others, and the smartphone is a powerful tool for doing that," end quote. Okay, so this one he describes in length compared to some others. So I'm going to break down what he said in just a moment. But first, let's continue what we always do, and that's by acknowledging what is true about what he said. So yes, creativity is a communicable attribute of God. As human image bearers of God, which we know that from Genesis 1:27, right, we reflect God's character, we reflect his image as a creator. And we are given the ability to make, to build, to create, to beautify. We see this explicitly in Exodus 31, where God specifically gave a few people the skills and ability to be master artists for the construction of the tabernacle. So the creativity was a gift from the Creator. So children, we know, are meant to draw, sing, write, dance, perform, build, and make beautiful things because they reflect the image of a creative God. This is all absolutely true. The question when it comes to whether a smartphone is beneficial for a child's self-expression is really, what does the smartphone teach a child about creativity? Is the creativity an expression? Is it aimed at glorifying God? Or is that creativity and expression a means to garner attention and an audience? Those are what we're going to be asking. I believe that Peter Gray's description here is really a common belief about what a smartphone can offer kids. So I think the best way to think biblically about all that he said is just to walk through what he wrote so we can make sure that we understand what he is teaching parents in this description. Like I said, because I think it's a very common held belief. So let's start at the beginning. He starts by saying the smartphone is a tool not just for building yourself, but also for expressing yourself. So yes, we do know this. The smartphone is a tool, and it is a powerful tool, as we discussed last week. So Peter Gray says it's a tool for both building yourself and for expressing yourself. So let's look into both of those claims, building and expressing. Now, building yourself, to me, sounds like a lot of personal, individual work. You know, I immediately, when I read that, I thought back to when one of my children, back in like 2017 maybe, had, you know, asked me through tears how she could possibly build her own brand if she wasn't allowed to have social media. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here, is this idea of you have to do this work. It's a lot of like works-based popularity, works-based worth, where you're finding the affirmation and accolades from the world. Now, but I can only assume that by building yourself, as he says it, he means the idea of growing, developing, maturing, and maybe even surviving, considering his evolutionary beliefs. But even then, right, building yourself still sounds so isolated and so individualized. The word building by itself, however, it actually has positive connotations, right? Because the opposite we could say is like tearing down. So when it comes to children, there should be lots of building, right? Because they are, in a sense, a sort of blank slate upon which to build. That's what we consider we're doing when we're discipling them and shepherding them. So scripture speaks of building as something that's deeply connected to God. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus compares those who listen and obey his words to a man who, when building a house, dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Then when storms came, the house could not be shaken because it was built well. Also in scripture, we see, you know, lots of the New Testament commandments to build one another. Like 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build one another up. It doesn't talk about building yourself. Romans 14:9, pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. And Ephesians 4:29, considering the words that we say, says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. Now, the only building really that the Bible encourages us to do is this building up of others. It never mentions building up of yourself. It's really a dying to yourself, a being sanctified through that sort of death to self, death to your own flesh desires, right? So our words, our actions, and our creativity, right? All of this is meant to build up, to edify others, and to really give glory to God, right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8:1. It warns us, right? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So all of this creativity, all of our words, all of our actions, our talents, our gifts, our skills are meant to build others up, never for the building of ourselves. And this is a distinct and sharp contrast to what Peter Gray says as building yourself with a smartphone. So he describes the smartphone as this tool also for expressing yourself. So we do know that the smartphone is capable of many creative tasks. The immediate thought, especially though when it comes to children, is that self-expression is almost always going to involve some online sharing because that's what the smartphone is sort of made for. That's like the intention of it, is for you to get online and share things. They've made it so easy to do that. But even if that isn't the assumption, self-expression is a term that really, I think, grew in my research. I found grew in the mid-1900s when humanistic psychologists linked to this idea of personality and self-fulfillment along with the consumer culture, right? So ultimately, this idea of self-expression is an unbiblical byproduct of the move of expressive individualism, which is really at the core, it's just the worship of self. Now, scripture doesn't speak about self-expression, obviously, but the idea of expression, of course, is still there. It's just under the banner of the heart, the speech that we use, our identity, and our worship. So first, let's look at the heart. We see that expression, self-expression, if you will, flows from the heart. Luke 6:45, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Proverbs 4:23, you probably know this one, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And of course, I think I quote this in almost every podcast, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful, right? It's desperately sick. That's the state of our heart, which is why we need to be careful of it. And then also, we see expression in our speech. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. A wise man quietly holds it back. James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And expressing our identity, we see in God's word, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Colossians 3, your life is hidden with Christ. So when you consider and combine these ideas of using a tool to build yourself and to express yourself, if that tool is not the Bible, right? If it is not the Word of God, then the result is likely going to be self-worship because it is a focus on self. Because the only creativity flowing from building and expressing yourself through a smartphone is what pleases the self or what makes the self pleasing to others. Okay, so let's move on from that. And Peter Gray says, you can snap pictures or create films, not just for documentation, but also for aesthetics and humor. So he clarifies that this is different than the documentation we talked about a couple weeks ago. Now, instead of snapping pictures or creating films for memory's sake, now it's for aesthetics and humor. Okay, first, if we're talking about true creativity being stirred up and developed, we have to recognize that the smartphone, when it comes to this idea of taking pictures of the camera, the smartphone just makes capturing and producing pictures and videos easy and convenient, because there are other tools that do this, right? We know that. It's the idea that it's always there, and thus it encourages this endless capture and that the continuous filming of life or stunts or trends, to the point that creativity can actually be lost in all of that, because again, it can become about performance. The smartphone doesn't inherently nurture an eye for beauty, composition, observation, and discernment, if we're going to be talking about photography, right? It can be a tool for this, but it doesn't happen on its own, right? It's going to happen if it's under the direction and teaching of an adult or an expert teacher, right? Something that I'm really convinced the more I read Peter Gray's work, he believes that adults and teachers stifle childhood. He very much wants kids to learn by themselves without adult intervention, or at least embodied adult intervention, right? Online, of course, I guess he's fine with. But like biblically, let's look at this, what he says. Biblically, aesthetics and humor, right? Those can be good when they're aligned under God's purposes. Scripture is not anti-beauty. It's not anti-laughter or anti-joy. But these things can easily become vanity or mockery or approval seeking, right? Because the creativity is never morally neutral. And that's because the creativity is flowing out of our hearts. And what do we know about our hearts? By nature, are sinful. And this is where we kind of see the warnings in scripture. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vanity. But what's praised by the Lord? She who fears the Lord is to be praised, right? 1 Peter 3:3-4, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, but from a gentle and quiet spirit, right? Because that, scripture says, is great worth in God's sight. And 1 John 2:16, right? The pride of life is not from the Father. We also see Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. It talks about the person who harms others and then says, oh, I was only joking. And the scripture says that person is condemned. And that is what we see so much as a method of personal expression, self-expression online. James 3, 9 and 10 talks about blessing God with our words while harming people also with our words, right? That the inconsistency of doing that, living these two lives, maybe a virtual life or this creative type of life, and then another Christian life. And Ephesians 5, 4 warns against obscenity, foolish talk, and crude joking. So let's take a step back for a second and remember that Peter Gray isn't just talking about making beautiful art or, you know, taking beautiful photographs or telling jokes. He's saying that this is to be done with a smartphone, right? A device that makes sharing instant and public. Right. That's where the benefit he sees of the smartphone is that you can do this so easily. And we know what also comes easily is the sharing. And this is where the creativity warps into content, right? When sharing your creative self-expression becomes about being seen, being recognized, and vying for the approval or the accolades or the compliments of others. And scripturally, we know that we are to seek God's approval, right? Not fellow man's, and that we are to fear God, because the fear of man is a snare. And I think we also have to consider, what is the most viral type of content online? What's the most popular? I'm going to argue it's beauty, all of the makeup and all that type of content, and humor, right? Those are the things on YouTube, right, that get the most type of clicks. And viral content easily becomes the child's goal, a way to be admired or approved by the world. So the question isn't, you know, can my child create something aesthetic or funny? You know, the question really is this creativity aimed at what is lovely, what is edifying for others? Or is this creativity training them to live for attention, approval, and the laugh of a crowd? I think that is how we really have to look at this. We have to ask that question of where is this actually taking my child? How is their heart being trained? All right, let's continue on with Peter Gray's explanation of this benefit. He says, when novel lines of poetry or song lyrics enter your head as you walk on wooden trails or city sidewalks, you can recite them into your phone before they are lost. Now, as an adult, I can say absolutely, yeah, jotting down an idea the moment it strikes is really helpful, right? This is similar to the documentation benefit he already mentioned that we reviewed in part 4. But notice the premise. Every thought must be captured immediately or it's lost. Right. And then if it's lost, that would just be tragic. Right. Every thought is deserving of capture. And that assumes that if something isn't captured immediately, then it's lost and somehow we've failed, right? But that's just not how we train in wisdom. That's really what you're doing there is just training compulsion, right? Also, notice the real argument here, I think, when I read this, is not that a child needs a smartphone. What he's saying is that note-taking is really useful. And to which I agree, this is true. Note-taking is useful. A notebook, an index card, goodness, I think even a simple voice recorder. I mean, even sharing this novel line of poetry or a song lyric with a friend can accomplish the same thing without handing a child a, you know, private internet-connected device that's going to be way more than just note-taking. And I think we can also emphasize a deeper point than that. Scripture does not teach that every thought needs immediate capture, right? Wisdom often includes restraint and filtering, right? Not every idea that comes to our minds is genius. Not every novel line or lyric deserves preservation. Not every impulse deserves a microphone, right? So many of us, I would say as adults, as parents, have lost the practice of meditating upon an idea or a thought, right? Letting it sit, letting it simmer, weighing it, refining it, praying about it. You know, we used to do this before the smartphone, but now with the smartphone and its immediacy and its novelty and its convenience, it has stolen this practice. And I think the saddest part about that is that with kids and smartphones, they aren't even given the chance to develop this beneficial discipline. And I think we need to get that back. I know I can think of so many times, not only my childhood, where I did sit bored thinking about deep things, or maybe it was novel things, didn't matter. And still today, that is how I come up with podcasts. And that's how I think deeply about the issues that we face in parenting in this media-saturated culture is I spend a lot of time just sitting and ruminating on these ideas. So we need to bring it back. We need to model and teach what I would say is this Philippians 4:8 discipline of thinking upon that which is true, that which is lovely, and really spending extra time in that. We've got to teach that to our kids. They're not going to get it automatically. So he goes on to say in his description, quote, if you wish to share your creations with friends or family, or even a larger audience, you can do so whenever you wish. Okay, so this right here is where the categories change, right? Sharing your creative self-expression with friends and family. Let's define what that is. That's relational. That's what happens in a healthy relationship. Sharing them with a larger audience is performance, right? And that, for a child, is that category shift is what's training their heart to desire to please the world and to get affirmation from the world, then from their family, from their friends, and ultimately from God. Now, don't get me wrong. There is an appropriate and time and place for performance, right? There really is, right? Nearly every creative outlet you can think of a child doing has a form of competition or performance built in, whether it's, you know, like an art competition or it's a basketball game or a dance recital, music recital, right? There's all of those type of formal competitions and performances built in to showcase their creative self-expression to family and friends. What happens for a kid is the desire to share their creative work when they're given a smartphone and then they're told, oh, this is a great benefit, you know, a great tool for you to share your creative work. That quickly turns into them craving validation, chasing views, right? Returning to their smartphone constantly to check comments, even reshaping their work to please the crowd, to please strangers who they don't even know, to curate their identity, to be the person that the internet wants. And sometimes even sexualizing what should be innocent creativity because Again, that's what the people online want. And I think even more than that, the deepest trap of all is the emotional dependence on that audience response. That it's just so detrimental to a child. So the problem, we know it isn't sharing in itself. The problem is that the smartphone lowers the threshold for public competition and comparison, and it teaches children to seek approval from the crowd. You will compete and perform, you know, a dance recital or a music recital in front of your friends and family. And yes, you'll want to make them proud. You'll want to do well because, you know, your parents have been driving you to lessons and practice all this time. They've invested money. You've invested lots of time. You want to, of course, put your best forward to display to all of your family and friends. Y'all, that is so different. That is so different than taking pictures either of yourself or of other things, videos or whatever, and putting it online for the approval of others. You know, the other thing I think about is how Peter Gray, you know, he writes about how children need to learn to live moral lives. But I'm left wondering, like, where is the moral virtue of humility in this? Like, where is that going to be learned? I think humility is one of the greatest moral virtues that a human can have. And I can't think of a more proper place to instill this value of humility is this area of their talents and their skills or their beauty, maybe their natural beauty, right? The creativity that God has given them, that has created them to have, right? It wasn't that they just made themselves beautiful in the womb or they just, you know, made it. They might have practiced a lot, but they didn't just have the skills to do everything. That is a gift of God. And if we're not teaching ways to be humble with this, well, then the culture, which if you haven't noticed, loves to praise and celebrate pride, right? Not just in the LGBTQ sense, that which they do, we know that, but no one really blinks an eye when celebrities or sports stars or, you know, whatever, you know, act with such arrogance and pride about being the best musicians, right? They fall all into this category. It just seems like it just goes with the nature of being a type of artist. So without intentionally regarding self-expression and sharing oneself online and regarding this virtue of humility, right? It is most likely, not always, like every child is different, right? God creates us all different, but most likely our children are going to absorb the world's pride and arrogance and the worship of self. Okay, so then he finishes his explanation by saying, it is human nature to want to share our creative thoughts and endeavors with others. And the smartphone is a powerful tool for doing that. Well, yes, we can agree. It is human nature to share, right? That's what makes relationships beautiful. You're sharing your lives with other people. And sharing is a distinct Christian impulse. Paul writes to the Thessalonians saying, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very lives as well. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Right? So sharing, not only is it beautiful, not only does it occur in relationship, but it's about that mutual participation. It's never about broadcasting yourself, which is, I believe, when he says sharing, that's kind of what he's insinuating, you know, because it's also, we have to recognize it's also human nature, not only just to share in relationships, but our sinful human nature seeks praise and glory for ourselves, right? Our human nature wants to fear man's opinion, to envy others, to make ourselves the center of the universe. And we see this continually in scripture. I was just reading John 12. I think this works perfectly. The apostle is describing how many of the synagogue leaders believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, who were kind of like the religious government, if you will, because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith. And in John 12, 43, he says the reason. He says, because they loved human praise more than praise from God. tragic, right? We should never want that for our children. We also see in Proverbs 29:25, again, the fear of man is a snare. Philippians 2:3, we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, right? Back to humility. In humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests. So these passages really remind us that, you know, while we live here on earth in our earthly bodies, we are all going to battle this sinful nature that is self-centered, that is self-seeking, right? Paul describes this battle in Romans 8 and also in Galatians, right? It's a battle of the flesh and the spirit. But it's so important to recognize that both impulses show up in our hearts. In the same heart, you're going to have the good desire for sharing and fellowship, and you're also going to have this sinful desire for self-exaltation. So the task at hand for Christian parents is, of course, to teach our children to bring this idea of sharing under the lordship of Christ. We want our children's creativity to be edifying for others, to build others up, to, you know, magnify God, to glorify Him, to demonstrate humility. The smartphone does not merely serve the good impulse to just share our very lives. We like to think that it does. But the smartphone also amplifies that sinful impulse to seek admiration and praise. Of course, if you don't give a child internet access, yeah, I understand. There's all kinds of arguments that can be made. Then it's not going to do that because they don't have the ability to share online. But we're just talking about the general smartphone with an internet connection, right? That's the real problem, is that both impulses exist. This is why the smartphone is not neutral. Like the smartphone in everyday typical practice with, you know, in the hands of a child with an internet connection is going to pressure, right? Subconsciously pressure them to capture, to share, to perform, to compare, to seek approval. You know, it's presented very much just out in the world, especially in media, marketing. It's presented as this creative freedom and self-expression with the world. But what really happens, we know, is it's distraction from what's really important. It's vanity. It's imitation of the world. It's not unique. So much of the self-expression that we see online, especially among adolescents, is not unique. They all look the same. And it's dependence. We've talked about that. The smartphone causes a dependence. We're not actually free if we have to keep looking at this device throughout the day, right? So this isn't about squashing our children's creativity or their creative self-expression. It really is whether or not their creativity needs to be shared with the world, whether or not it needs to be published online. Because again, when it is, that self-expression is going to turn into self-presentation and self-exaltation and self-worship. And that is just not the life that Christians are called to live. We are not to present ourselves as objects to worship. And this is why, again, biblical discipleship of children is critical, to follow the model that Scripture gives us, right? Not to follow the model that this modern media-saturated world offers us. We must train them in truth and in godly character and in the temptations of the flesh. Okay, so with that said, let's get real practical. Like, if we are going to keep our kids off of internet-connected devices, while at the same time truly inspiring creative stewardship, we need the right tools. So for younger kids, I think this is fairly simple. You can think arts and crafts, whether it be crayons, paint, markers, notebooks, drawing pads, musical instruments. I know you don't really want that recorder, but you know, sometimes you got to get the recorder or the harmonica, no matter how annoying it is. Dress up, puppets, storytelling, right? All of that is like screen-free and so enriching for a child. But it can also be sports equipment, right? Or it could be, you know, kids-safe cooking supplies and recipe books. It could be introductory woodworking, right? The non-screen outlets for creative expression are endless. You know, you can also expose them, especially starting when they're young, to various forms of creative expression. Take them to a local high school band or choir concert. Take them to a ballet or a play. You know, lots of cities have local theater troupes that you can see a performance, you know, there rather than spending tons of money going to a big city and seeing a Broadway show. Especially when you've got kids, you want to do something very kid-friendly, especially to your pocketbook. You can go to art museums and sports competitions and dance recitals, right? Children are going to learn what is worth loving and what is worth expressing and how to do that properly through the shared experiences that we give them, especially when we are sharing what we love. And then as kids grow up, you know, especially if they have found a creative passion, right? The tools that they use can advance. Maybe instead of like a point and shoot kind of, you know, camera, maybe they get a digital SLR type of camera if they're really into photography. Maybe they get a more advanced bike or a higher quality instrument. You know, maybe they take classes or lessons to enhance their craft. Maybe they're even participating in local, state, or national competitions. This is how self-expression has been done. You know, for a long time, it never had to be shared publicly. The point is that a child just doesn't need a smartphone to be creative. In fact, I'm going to argue it again. The smartphone has a greater potential to hinder creativity and skill development because what is the primary intention of that smartphone? It is maximum engagement, especially maximum engagement in passive activities that really don't matter. Right? When creative work is routinely pushed out to these unknown, broad audiences, again, it shifts creativity to performance and the joy in that creativity to validation seeking. A healthier pattern is to let children share the creative work within real life relationships. Have them make art and then give that art as gifts to grandparents or aunts and uncles, you know, invite the family and even friends to see their performances or competitions. Yes, pictures can still be taken. They can even be shared with loved ones over a text message or whatever, right? That can still be done, but it doesn't have to be the child doing it. It's better for them to focus on the actual expression, the talent, the skill, whatever it is that they're, you know, trying to develop. Then to worry about what people are saying about it online. But here's the thing that I have to say. Parents, I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. But listen, we can fall prey to that same sin nature of basking in our children's glory when we post their creative work, their talent, their skill for public approval. Listen, it's more dangerous for a child who's forming their identity to like have the world have thoughts about them and feel like they're performing for their parents' friends that they don't even know on Facebook or Instagram. But it's equally harmful for the parent-child relationship when their success or their talent or their creativity quietly becomes the source of the parents' validation. It's too much. It's too much pressure. You should ask your children, can I share this with these family members? That just doesn't need to be shared online. It just doesn't. So I humbly urge you to really consider this, pray about this before ever posting any of your child's skills and talents that you know is probably better than maybe your neighbor's, right? But this just isn't how we love our neighbor. I know. It's the fastest and it's the easiest way to share something, to keep people updated on what's going on in your life. But as we keep reiterating in this series, the easiest, the most convenient way is not always the most beneficial. Okay, so to summarize, the smartphone's promise to allow creative self-expression, it's not a benefit worth granting to kids because it easily amplifies the flesh through public performance, comparison, and a hunger for praise. Scripture calls us to use our words, our skills, our gifts to build others up, not to build ourselves a platform to which others will worship us. A child's identity cannot be formed by an audience response. It must be formed in Christ and on His word. Okay, again, I want you to wrestle with these ideas throughout the week and really search your heart for what you believe so that you have this solid reasoning, right? A firm apologetic for why you are delaying access to smartphones for your kids, right? So here are some questions you can think about. One, is my child creating for the love of creation or for the hope of recognition? Number two, and this question is for you, parents, does my smartphone encourage patience, skill, and authenticity in me? Or does it encourage speed, immediacy, and imitation? And then you can ask, if it's like that for me, how will it influence my child? Number three, does sharing my kids' creative self-expression with family and friends deepen those relationships? Or does it create an expectation of positive validation? Number four, is my child growing in humility as their abilities grow? Or are they growing in pride and arrogance? Five, does this creative self-expression habit strengthen the embodied life with others? Or does my child's creative self-expression habit pull them into a curated identity? And number six, is it my desire for my child's skill and success to be seen and admired? Ooh, another set of humbling questions to reflect upon. I am praying for you this week as you do. Thank you so much for listening today. Join me next week, part six, as we counter the benefit of amusement. Amusement. It is going to be good. Until next week, go and be brave.